Welcome to the Lows to Highs podcast. I am your host, Karin, and on this show, you will learn how to live a present life, find gratitude in all of the low moments, and experience freedom and bliss as you propel into your higher self. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. I know it's been a minute, but I hope you all had a lovely end of 2023 and that your 2024 is off to a good start. I wish each and every one of you all of the health, the happiness, abundance, all of the good vibes. And I hope you're feeling excited and energized for what this new year holds. I pray that you feel like you're ready to up-level your life or you're inspired to take further action. And I hope that this year is the year that you have the courage to manifest and create whatever it is your heart seeks. So sending you guys all the love. And I know I didn't upload any episodes last month, but I just want to express my deepest gratitude for you, whoever you are, wherever you are listening. I'm so touched and so grateful for this loving, supportive community. And I truly appreciate every message that I receive, every story repost, every share, every like, every comment, all of it. It really means the world to me. And I'm just so honored that you have allowed me to be part of your life in this way and that you keep coming back, or if this is the first time you're here, welcome. I am so honored and grateful that I get to do what I love and serve this community in the way that I do and that it's being received so beautifully. So just want to say that. So I will be recording a solo episode in the coming weeks to give some life updates and what I'm working on and what I've been going through and all of that. But today is a really special one because I have a dear friend of mine, Amber Lyon, who I have been connected with on Instagram for many years, but we started to hang out a couple of months ago and we just hit it off so beautifully. Amber and I come from a very different place, but we're both born to do the same thing, which is to create and to write based off of our life experiences. And I'm sure some of you guys already follow her Instagram account. And if you don't, go follow. It's linked in the show notes. Her @ is Modern Mind. She is such a beautiful soul, so brilliant, so smart, so eloquent in the way that she speaks. And she really allows you to understand your power and truly believe that you are a magnet in terms of attracting whatever it is you desire in your life, whether that be success or joy or love, whatever it is. Her account is one of the few that I follow whose content I genuinely look forward to reading and seeing and coming across. And this episode that we recorded together is really remarkable because we kind of get raw and real and unfiltered. We talk a lot about finding our light in times of darkness. We share the different places we both write from and why we even do it. You'll see a lot of similarities between the way we create, but also so many differences as well. We talk about why living in alignment with your soul allows like-minded people to flow towards you, which I think is so important because I know a lot of us struggle with friendships and finding people who feel aligned. We talk about the conflicting energy from making money off of your purpose. So if you are an entrepreneur or you have your own business, there is that ickiness that is felt with promoting or selling your work. So we go into depth about that. We explain why the ways you invest in yourself is reflective of your self-worth. We share practical micro shifts that can change your mood and mindset. The act of trying new things being a sign that you are ready to get better. The steps to take in order to change your habits and behaviors. The cycle that shows you're unknowingly breaking your own patterns. And why we should always, always, always listen to our intuition, even if where it leads might feel off. This is a long episode, but a really good one. A lot of juiciness. So start taking notes and I hope you enjoy.
Okay, let's dive into it. I am so honored, Amber, that you are here. I feel like you and I were just meant to connect in some way. And a few months ago we did. And I feel like I had just known you for so long. Like we just really got along. So many similarities, so many. I just like saw myself in you. And, you know, you're one of the accounts on Instagram that I genuinely look forward to reading and following and engaging with. And I'm just so honored that not only do I have you on the show, but that we're friends now. But I would love for you to share with our audience, who is Amber and how did you get into the space?
Oh my God, that's the sweetest introduction. I know, it's so funny. I feel like I have been watching you for so long on Instagram, like lurking behind the surface. Like, you like kind of keep tabs on everyone.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just know we'd get along. And I think I've been following your page for like 3 or 4 years. So
Me too.
And I wasn't even living in New York at the time when I was following. And so when I was living here and I just felt this like calling. I was like, reach out. Like I want to like see the coffee because I know we have the same brain. And so
yeah.
I'm so glad. It's such a beautiful experience.
Mm-hmm.
So writing was always like a hobby of mine, just something that was like really private. Essentially, it just started as like books and books and books of just like pages and pages of like inner thoughts. And I think the desire to write, and I'm sure you may have like a similar story, just came from truthfully like a dark space in the sense of trying to process what was happening in the world around me and trying to find a way to alchemize pain into purpose. And that was the origin of it. But then that sort of curiosity then applied to every aspect of life. And so I sort of saw the world in a different way to what I realized most other people looked at it and what they saw and what they kind of took from it. And so the ritual of writing was such like a beautiful experience for me to like feel seen and to see myself and to kind of validate this like perspective on the world. And even though it was just for me, I still would like reread the writing and I'd be like, oh my God, like
this is profound.
That is so interesting. I'm not trying to like sit here like tooting my own horn. It's not even about that, but I think like for any creative, when you like go into this flow state and then you like either listen back if it's music or if you read it back or watch it back, however, whatever medium it is, when you're truly in flow state, it almost just feels like something's like come over you. And it feels like it's partly you, but it's like partly something else that's come through. And I think like it's become my like ritual of like being present with like God, universe, life, like whatever you want to call it. And I feel like that practice is just like the most sacred thing. And then I started sharing my words on social media. Eventually I built this kind of brand of Modern Mind and then it's just become my life. Like it's what I love more than anything. And I know that you know that better than anyone, what that path of writing and designing, because also like your brand design is so forefront. Mm-hmm. And so like I know you're a very aesthetically inclined person and same, and I feel like that's such a gift to like express in a different way, like to meld these two interests. But it's just constantly evolving, and again like sharing my ritual, my altar with the world through the Instagram page and kind of like blogs and whatnot. But that's like the origin story, I suppose, from darkness into light and then like constantly teetering between the two and finding a way of kind of communicating what's coming out of that process. How did you start your page? I'm so curious.
Very similar to you. I mean, I started writing poetry when I was 16 years old. I was in high school. Was similar to you, just trying to process and understand my thoughts, my feelings, my emotions, and gain clarity on what I was experiencing. And so I started writing poetry on the notes app on my phone, and I discovered over time, I kept resorting back to that note just anytime I needed to understand or process what I was going through. And some of it was around heartbreak, some of it was about the life I wanted to live and my fears and, you know, learning to love myself, all these different topics. And that was when it started. But over time, I think my health journey really made me look even deeper within. And that's what fostered this like deeper spiritual awakening and really using words as a way to heal, essentially. And I think, you know, people who enter this space, what I've now discovered, whether it's spirituality or creativity or any form of creation, really, is, you know, out of pure necessity. And it seems like for you, it was a necessity to find mm-hmm. your creative outlet so that you turn that dark into lightness. And the same thing for me, you know, the darkness in my life was my health journey, but it then fostered this whole world of so much light, which is I turned that pain into purpose. And now I'm able to, and this is a question I want to ask you, which is one reason why I created my Instagram page and start to share my work online was that I had been learning so much about my mindset and my thoughts and my emotions and what you think creates your reality and all these different, you know, spiritual practices or truths, really. But I kept feeling like I would learn something and I would act on it and then I would forget about it when something shitty happened again. And so for me, creating my page was really like I wanted to hold myself accountable to continuously practice what I preach and then also have an outlet that forces me to continuously step into my higher self at every moment. And so I'm curious for you, how has modern mind helped you stay accountable? And like, how has your brand and your page helped you? Because obviously you're helping hundreds of thousands of people with your work, but I'm curious to know, how has that helped you evolve every single day?
Such an interesting point. And also like, I've also become, in the past, like trapped in that same kind of like cycle. It's like, I've always referred to it as the spiritual tea. And it's like so nice to like get up and cozy in bed and like drink your like spiritual tea and like feel better than everyone else. And meanwhile, like feeling like looking at someone's page and being like, oh my God, this girl is so like this. And yeah. It's like, oh, whoa.
They weren't anything.
The duality of life, like I hold space for all things, but at the same time, like I feel like it's really easy to get caught in this like bypassy nature mm-hmm. of like the spiritual world, especially on Instagram, where it's like, you read something that resonates and it's like, oh, that's made me feel good for a moment, like double tap like, and then like moving on and then like screaming at your partner or your friend, like when something goes wrong. And it's kind of like, I remember, I think it was Oprah, like spoke about this. It's like, don't go to church and then like kick the dog when you go home.
Yeah.
You know, like live by your practices. And I think strangely enough, there's a sense of accountability in modern mind, like the brand for me, in order to like facilitate like my need for service but my actual routine and my rituals and like the integration of what I'm speaking about like happens so separately to that page. It almost feels like it comes as a result of like what's happening in my life and kind of these lessons that are coming up, and often like my failure in some of those lessons. And I'm conscious of the word failure. I'm not like saying like you're getting it wrong, but just times where things pop up and I'm reflecting and I feel like I didn't really handle it well. The way that I sort of like reflect and kind of pivot in that in my day-to-day life is like also what inspires those posts to like share with other people. So again, it's always like coming as a result of what's happening in my world. And sometimes like I'll go to the page and I'll like scroll through and I'll like try read it with a fresh pair of eyes, but the two worlds feel quite separate. It feels like I'm learning in my life and I like learn from my teachers and like different spiritual kind of guides and like even like your page, and I'm taking that information in. And then Modern Mind as a brand is like a result. It's kind of this encyclopedia of like everything that I've learned in a way. So the accountability comes as like just wanting to like facilitate that service element. Do you find the same thing? Like, do you kind of write when you are in the midst of something or when you're on the other side of it?
Oh, I love how we're going into this. For me, it's both, because sometimes, how do I word this in a way that makes sense? sometimes I write things, and I've noticed this as I'm writing my second book right now, I will write from a place of my higher self. And I'll pray before I write, and before I even post on Instagram, this is what I've been doing lately, is I'll pray and I'll be like, God, come speak through me, within me, and let this get into the hands of whoever needs it the most today. And I think every time I write now, it's like that prayer is subtly being answered. And what I mean by that is I'll write something, example, like how I want to handle a situation or the mindset I want to have when shit hits the fan. And when I reread that, I'm like, that's who I want to be. Like, that's the potential I can meet. And so now I like go back to things that I've written and I act on it. And I'm like, I think I just wrote that into existence.
Yeah.
But then other times it's what you said. It's me reflecting after a really tough season of life and taking in all of the lessons that I've learned and all of the realizations I've had, and me writing it and posting it is kind of like my way of cementing that knowledge into the physical world.
Yeah.
To like prove to myself, like, yes, I got here. So then it's after the fact. So for me, it comes from like a few different places. I don't know if that makes any sense.
That makes total sense. Like the aspiring to, but then also like the experience of, like, informing right. that kind of like dialogue. I mean, I think anyone that's a writer or lives in the creative world, like, ultimately it's just like curiosity.
Yeah.
Like being like coming into form, and it's just like perceptions and like wanting to see the world and understand the world and like how that impacts you or the people you love. And I think such a beautiful thing I've found, at least through at least working on social media or working in social media with as a creative, is just how many people feel the same way about the world or see the world in a similar way. And I think for me, that was so validating as a person, because I felt so alone in my perspective of the world growing up. I like from New Zealand, and originally I grew up in like a really small town, and like the bottom of the South Island is like small pop, it's like ski town kind of, and then moved to like a bigger city. But there's something that kind of happens in like a small country where people tend to see the world in a really similar way. And there wasn't a lot of space to like kind of inquire and pull things apart and challenge things. And even just like sometimes being like optimistic or like trying to see the silver lining and things, like I found like that wasn't accepted by people around me, or I'd be shut down for that perspective. And that was like a really difficult period of my life. And then building this page and just like seeing it organically grow, it's such a beautiful experience to be like, oh my God, look at these people that are also like inclined to want to like work on themselves, to develop, to grow, to like really like expand into this like bigger vision of who they are in their life. Like, I'm curious, did you, I mean, any creative pursuit is nerve-wracking to pursue. Was that something that came naturally to you to like make this like a career, or did we meet with any resistance or judgment?
I'm going to answer that in a second, but I also want to just shine a light on something that you said, which I think is a really beautiful life experience, which is when you were in New Zealand, you felt unaligned to the way you saw the world and the way you wanted to live a life and the mindset you wanted to have and that open curiosity. And when you came to New, whether it was you coming to New York or whether it was you creating your brand page, you felt like you found your people and your community. And I think that's a testament to when you live in alignment with your soul's path, regardless of the external noise and the validation or the negative chatter, and you continue doing what makes you feel aligned. So in your case, like coming to New York and like sharing your work, you then foster this massive community, which you've obviously had of over like 250,000 people, which is massive. But it was because you were living in alignment that all of those people who have the same mindset and curiosity and vision for life navigated towards you. And I think that is such a beautiful life lesson, that if when you walk in alignment, the right people will follow. And then once you're in that place, you're like, why was I ever worried that I was so different? Because it's so evident that we're all, there's so many people who get it and who are like me. And I think that's also a testament to yours and I's friendship, you know?
Completely. I do have to say that, because I feel like there's always that transition period. And I know you would have had the same thing of like, okay, I'm going to try this new thing. And then, like, for example, it was like my mom, my sister, like some friends that followed the page for mm-hmm. an extended period of time, yeah. along with like 20 other strangers while I poured my heart out online. And I think like there is a like, there's a gap sometimes, or always, truthfully, like there's always a gap. I think like that's like such a misconception that so many people believe, especially on social media now, of like, oh, I'm just going to make this page. It's going to be like wildly successful. Like it takes the commitment to it. Yeah, exactly as you said, when you're living it,
mm-hmm.
people, it's such a beautiful thing to like see parts of yourself in something that someone else is embodying.
And I think that's why for me, like I've always been fascinated by all types of artists and creators, because even when I go to the Metropolitan Museum in New York and I see my favorite Picasso painting, I go there literally once a year just to see this one painting because I see myself in it. And mm-hmm. his form of art and creation is very different than mine, but I still find myself in his work. And the same thing with films and songs and characters in a novel, like that's when you feel so connected. And I think it's so beautiful that, you know, you and I can help foster that in our own unique way. But going back to your question on like, and correct me if this is what you were asking, where it was like, did you always think that this would be a career? Is that what you, yeah.
Well, it was like, was it easy for you to start pursuing it as a career or not?
For me, it was very gradual. I think I always had this inclination and intuition that I wanted this to be the life I lived. And I can say that with truth because I wrote a bucket list when I was 16 years old and I wrote, I want my poems to be published. And, you know, I wrote in college for my school newspaper and I did some copywriting internships. So I was planting those seeds intentionally, but also unknowingly. And, you know, it wasn't until, honestly, like this, maybe like a year and a half ago, where at this point I had tried so many things with my Instagram and my brand, which was I did merch. I did, you know, I had my podcast. I, you know, created guided journals and like digital products. And I did some influencing and content creation for other brands. And I had to dabble in all of that to realize, wait a minute, the thing that I love the most is writing. Like that's what it is. Like, and I love my podcast to hold space for these types of conversations because these conversations inspire my writing. So this is like kind of like the, what's the word? It like feeds that inspiration. But I had to really go through things that I didn't fully enjoy or feel aligned with to then get clarity. Like this is the type of career I actually want to have when it comes to my page. But originally it was just like a creative outlet. Like I, you know, over time I wanted to make money off of it and like, you know, monetize. But it really didn't cement until about a year and a half ago where I was like, I want to be an author and I'm getting there and I'm already doing the work. So let's go embody that version of yourself.
I mean, you bring up a really interesting point. And I did a Q&A last night and someone asked a question. They said, how do you feel about making money from your purpose?
Mm.
And I thought that that was such an interesting question because, you know, in a lot of other fields, it's of course like, go girl, like go get that like bag, like you've got those like actresses, like sports stars, like your passion, like go kill it. And I feel like as like writers especially, or anyone in like the wellness space, I feel like there can be this kind of conflicting energy between I want to like give because like ultimately I'm driven by service, but also there's like a financial need to be met in the sense of like in order for me to show up in the best and highest capacity, I also need to make sure that like I can pay my rent and like I can like get my groceries and et cetera, et cetera. Did you have, like, what's been your kind of experience there? Because I think that's a lot of people in the wellness space, at least, I feel like it's kind of something that's like somewhat conflicting.
I think it, for me, it always went back to integrity and intention. Like, I think at the end of the day, everything that I created that I was monetizing off of was because I knew it could potentially help one person.
Completely.
Hopefully more than that, obviously. You know, for me, this is still my side hustle. Like, I have a full-time job that's actually paying my bills. And so this is a treat on the side, and it's a great treat. You know, how blessed am I that I can have this, you know, additional source of income from doing something that I love. But I do think, and you and I have talked about this over coffee, where sometimes when I'm posting on my story, like a link to my book or a link to my digital journal or my merch, there is that resistance inside, being like you're a salesman, like this, there's like that ickiness.
Yeah.
But I have to consciously remind myself time and time and time again, I love my work. I have a pure intention, which is to serve others, to turn my pain into purpose. And so me sharing my work and my offerings is a form of love. And I need to fall in love with that process, because ultimately I have no idea who picks up my book, who healed from it or needed to read what they needed to read or listen to my podcast. And like, that was the moment things changed for them. And who cares if I feel ickiness for 5 seconds over, you know, making money off something that I'm putting my heart and soul into. Like, let's be real. This is time and effort and energy. And we don't have to do this. Like, we could keep it on our journals and our notes app, but we want to share it because we feel that calling and that drive to serve, like what you said earlier. Do you resonate with that?
Completely. And I think it's something that even in any career, I feel like when people are self-employed or starting their own business or entrepreneurial, it's like really like breaking through any limiting beliefs of this idea of like feeling bad to charge or feeling bad to like for people to pay for a service, even whether that be like a business or something to do with like writing or any creative endeavor. And I feel like that's something that I've seen come up for myself as I was in this space, as well as like different coaching clients, of really taking ownership of like the value of what you're contributing and really like owning that space, and then letting that the kind of exchange come from that core authentic place of like, I'm here to serve, and like this is such a like privilege to alchemize like life and like pass that on. And it's also like a beautiful value exchange in a way. So it's like the appreciation.
I also think this is more specifically in the wellness world and the work that you and I are doing and other healers are doing and artists of this sort. This is stuff, in my mind at least, that you can't put a price on. Like, and what I mean by that is, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who came to me because she wanted to get into meditation. And I shared with her the Joe Dispenza ones that I do. And I said, you know, these are a bit deeper. So if I were you, like, I want you to evolve into this one day. But I would, if you never meditated, I would suggest starting with this app called Superhuman by a friend of mine, Mimi Bouchard.
Yeah. Oh,
it's great. And it's by Mimi Bouchard. She's an entrepreneur. And her story is remarkable, where she had her own like wellness platform for many years. And she went to a Joe Dispenza retreat. And through that retreat, she met him. And he basically told her, like, focus on the meditation. That's where your purpose lies. Like, and she kind of got that download through the meditation retreat. And now she's built this massive and incredible meditation app. It's very, they're all guided meditations, and it's very like, it's all her speaking for the most part, but there's like 2-minute ones, 5-minute ones. There's like ones when you're getting ready to go out. There's ones when you're feeling sluggish. There's ones where it's like walking into my higher self, all these different topics. And it's really profound. And so I recommended it to my friend, and she did the free trial. And when I saw her a couple weeks later, she was like, by the way, like, I loved it. I'm so excited about it. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so happy for you. You found your thing. Like, I hope you continue doing it. And I'm excited to see your growth. And she was like, yeah, but like my free trial is expiring in a few days. And like, it's so expensive for the year. And like every month it's like $30.
And $30? I was like try therapy.
Yeah. I was like, and I gave her tough love. I was like, look, I get it. Like dishing out $200 out of nowhere is a lot.
Mm.
But like cost per use, $1 a day if you do one meditation a day, we spend $30 on an Uber ride to go from one bar to the next. Like
totally.
The priorities need to be, I guess, pivoted so that you are embracing how the fact that these types of tools, you know, working with a healer, paying for a meditation, going to a yoga class, like these are priceless because it's enhancing your mind, body, and spirit. And so whenever I hear people, in my mind at least, come up with an excuse as to why they can't commit to it or afford it or, you know, carve out time for it, it's like this stuff is priceless because the lasting result is forever. Do you feel that way too?
I mean, the crazy thing is with everyone has like their own like budget with what's within reach.
Right. Right.
I imagine like a lot of people like listening probably have like an extra $30 in the month. But for in the case of someone that doesn't, if you reach out to a creator, they'll often like meet you halfway or like mm-hmm. help even like with that. If you're in the situation where you're really like wanting that like resource, but you feel like it's just completely without reach within your budget. But outside of that, absolutely. And I think money is such a reflection of worth and value.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so like beautifully linked. But it's just exactly as you say, like a reflection of priorities. And so when we say like, I don't have enough for that, it's like, well, what do you have enough for? Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important. It's such a powerful exercise. Like something I actually personally do monthly is like go, I sit down with, look over my bank statement and I like go through and I'm like, okay, tell me where my priorities are at for this month. And I go through yeah. and I review and I'm like, okay, for example, I spent a lot on, this is going to sound like ridiculous, but like Cha-Cha Matcha in the city. I've become like my like weird haven. And I go there like once or twice a day. And I was looking through, I'm like, oh, but it facilitates for me being from New Zealand. Like we have like a coffee culture.
Mm-hmm.
See, matcha is different, but it's this culture where you like go to the coffee shop and you like sit down and you take your time and it kind of, you relax. And I feel like that space for me reminds me of home because it's one of the only mm-hmm. environments in New York when they're not just like give you the coffee and like immediately kick you out on the street, right?
It's a receipt, by the way.
Yeah.
And a request for 30% tip.
Yeah. I'm like, oh my God. Like, okay, New York. But for me, like, because that facilitates this like need to feel connected to like my home, all of a sudden that prioritizes mm-hmm. that thing for me. And the same with like wellness, like when it comes to like my physical health, I'm like, okay, is that a priority to me? Like, absolutely. How can I financially prioritize that in the week? And like, do I now need to move some of my finances around in order to mm-hmm. facilitate that? And I think taking responsibility for our financial health is something that's often like overlooked in this like spiritual discussion. And like, I had no idea kind of our conversation would even go this way.
So, like, I was just thinking that too.
For whatever reason. But financial health is a form of health and it changes yeah. how we feel about ourselves. Like financial health is a sense of security and sense of like well-being and ability to look after ourselves. And so I think the fact that it is missed is like a really sad thing. And even just like looking into investing, because like the energy of investing is such a beautiful investment in your self-worth and your future, and really like you're investing into yourself when you invest. So it's like all these like little things like energetically are a reflection of our self-worth and where we're spending our money as well.
I love how you went there, because I always have believed like money is energy and money will be given, it will be taken, but it always flows back and forth. And so even for me, I mean, they're like, for you, it's the matcha, right? Where you're like, this feels like home. This is a sacred space. I feel alive when I'm there. It fosters my creativity. It fosters my serenity. And so for you, paying $5, $10, whatever it is for a matcha once a day, like that's an investment for your, for joy, like for you to feel that inner bliss and joy that you, you know, remind yourself of home with. So that's really an investment of your own energy level, and you're getting that reward almost immediately when you get your matcha every day. Similar for me, and these are little things, but in my apartment, I'm going to show you. I spend $40 on Aesop. Because like, I love seeing it on my counter. It makes me so happy. It really lasts a very long time, by the way, so it's worth the investment. But like, do I need to spend $40 on hand soap? No. Mm. But when I walk into my apartment, when I go wash my hands in the sink, it brings me this like level of joy from the simple things in life. And so that to me is a non-negotiable, and I will invest in these things, even in the candles in my apartment or the food that I buy, the quality of the food that I buy. Mm. These are all things that enhance my wellness. And, you know, I don't order in food anymore. Like I always cook. So I'm saving money in that sense. And I, to your point, like shuffled around my finances. So I create space for the things that actually fuel me and that provide peace that is more long lasting than instantaneous joy or instantaneous, what's that word?
Gratification.
Yeah, gratification. Yeah.
Totally. And I think it's about like striking this balance between what's that investment that also invests into like the way that I feel about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things I do on one of the workshops is like you get really clear on like what you want your personal space to look like, and whether that's just your bedroom, if you have a shared space, or like living room. How can you make your space like a physical reflection of you and like where you're going? Because I feel like that's another thing that's so often not looked at. We said like the spiritual world is like so internal and like looking at the future, but like, dude, like look at your bedroom. Like how about
there,
you know? And like, what does that look like? Your closet, like, is there a possibility of like going through and like clearing out and donating like old clothes if you have the capacity to do that? Or like, just clearing out clutter and just really like taking care of personal spaces, because this is where we spend some of the most time in our entire lives, is like where you go to sleep, when you're rising in the morning. It sets the tone for your day, and that your physical environment, when it reflects like where you're going and like who you're wanting to be, I feel like that's such like a thought cue. And like, we've spoken about this actually and I'd love to touch on this, like in this conversation, about the cues that we have for certain thoughts. And like, I've found for myself personally, when I've been like having a really difficult time or really struggling, or certain limiting beliefs are like looping a lot, I'll change my physical environment just incrementally, like just little things. I'll like clear out the space, I'll change the sheets, or even just like cleaning your sheets and changing them can like change the energy of the space, and it can help so much. But I'd love to hear about like your kind of experience on certain cues for certain thoughts that reinforce a certain way of being.
Oh, I love this. I feel like whenever old patterns or limiting beliefs resurface, it's because I'm living out of alignment.
Mm.
And it's also because I've been stuck in a similar routine where I haven't shaken things up. And so for me, it's what you said. It's little things like, you know, I have a very strict morning routine, which I love. It's like my favorite time of the day. And I have my meditations and my journaling practice. And I would love to hear what your morning routine looks like. But sometimes I get so used to that, that I need to shift something. So instead of going on an evening walk, I'll go in the morning, and like that little shift completely changes my energy level. Similar to you, you know, like moving my couch around or like buying flowers and putting it on my coffee table instantly changes things. And then there are the more, you know, intense versions of that where I'll go on a weekend trip and just get out of my bubble and out of my space. Or I'll go on a day trip, explore a different town, explore a different part of New York. And instantly I feel re-energized. Not even just re-energized though. I gain clarity, but I also have this newfound appreciation for my home. And I feel like whenever I go somewhere, by the end of that trip or by the end of the day, I'm like, it wasn't even my home though. It was me. Like I'm with myself every day. So when I leave my environment, it's my problems don't leave with me, like, or they come with me. They're not there.
I'm like, wait, you leave them?
My problems here. Yeah. And so that makes you rethink, like, okay, if it's not the environment, then what is it that I'm doing? Or what is it that I'm thinking that's facilitating this loop of suffering?
Yeah.
I don't know if that made any sense.
No, it really does. And I think I love that we're talking about like really like practical things and really like tangible things, because I talk a lot about, and I think in both of our work, like we go really deep. It's like these internal perspective shifts, which is like ultimately your life is how you see it. And then that's why those tools are so powerful. But I think there's something to be said for just these like tiny little micro shifts of what can you introduce that's different? Can you drive a new way to work? Can you like show up in a different way? Like put a different like style, a different outfit to put on for the day, or go for a morning walk, or change up what you would listen to, find a new song to listen to while you're working out. Like such little things like that actually can be so powerful in changing like our mood and how we feel. And I think sometimes we get so caught in the deep work that we overlook over these like tiny little shifts that are sometimes more within reach. And I feel like, especially when, I don't know, I put something up recently, like asking people like how they're doing. And honestly, like the response was like overwhelming, that people were just really like anxious and like feeling really like overwhelmed with what's happening in the world at the moment. And I feel like sometimes it's tough to like dive deep when you're already feeling like you're really deep. And so just like these little things that people can do to invoke like a moment of change in their mindset, or just like shift their focus. And I'm curious, like, what are your like most practical kind of tools that you use that are that for you, like when you're feeling kind of like out of alignment or feeling like overwhelmed or anxious, or, and once you've kind of looked at whatever is going on there, like what do you use to shift state?
There's a few things. One thing that I have struggled with, and I'm learning how to change this, is whenever I'm in a funk or I'm in a low, my way of feeling my emotions is by putting on Bon Iver and like sitting in the bath and like really feeling it, which is good. But sometimes I wallow far longer than I need to. And I'm learning, you know, one thing I've been thinking about is asking myself, like, who profits off feeding these emotions and these thoughts further than they need to? And it's not me. Like, that loop is not making me good. It's not helping me. And so what I've been doing lately is, like, the second I notice I'm far away from joy or far from alignment, I don't make it seem like this daunting task that's going to take many weeks for me to get back to where I was. So what I do is, I allow myself to put on my favorite funny movie at night and just like laugh. I, instead of listening to sad music, I'll put on a really fun, upbeat Whitney Houston song. And even if I'm not feeling it fully, it's the act of like wanting to change my energy state that gives me the confidence, because it's like you're keeping the promise to yourself that you want to get better and you're trying. And that act of trying is a sign that you are going to get better. A lot of things for me is like getting out of my comfort zone. I mean, you introduced me to Sui Yoga in Soho, New York, and I have been working out from home since pretty much COVID. I have my girl that I do Pilates and I'll go on my long walks. And, you know, going back to the energetics of money, like paying for a workout class wasn't my priority for a very long time, because I liked the way my body looked and felt, and I liked my routine of like doing a workout in between classes, or just the ease and the accessibility of it. But then I came to the point where I was like, I want community and I want to be surrounded by souls who are in the same energetic space. So by me paying for a workout class and going to it, one, I'm in that energy field. Two, it's something for me to do. Like it takes more time out of my day, but it's an exciting form of time. And then three, I think it just inspired me to see what else is out there. And mm-hmm. so I think doing things like that, where you push yourself out of your comfort zone, whether it's putting on a funny movie, listening to an upbeat song, going for a walk, going to a workout class, doing something other than what you normally do in those situations can help you foster a new or build a new pattern. But then also you get clarity on what things are working for you. So oh, for me, it's like I've discovered, and I tested this out when I went to Spain for almost a week and a half. I didn't meditate for a week. And I was like, maybe if I don't meditate, maybe I'll be better. And then a week after, I was like, oh God, no, like I need this back in my life. And so that helped me discover, okay, meditation is really serving me and it's a non-negotiable for me. And so I think it's like pushing yourself out of your comfort zone a little bit in those moments. And the second you become aware of it is when you can act. And when you act in that moment, that's when you begin to break the habit of being yourself that isn't aligned, essentially.
Completely. It's just like the personality is a habit and it's all.
Yeah.
And I think like it becomes so solidified over time that it's people forget, including myself. Like I've forgotten many times that the way that I feel is just like a result of like the habits of thinking and the habits of behaving. And so I'm almost choosing that state unconsciously
Yeah. just as a
result of my habits. And that's why I like love these like practical tools so much because, and I think it's something really core to what you do as well. What's like what's the next step? Like what's not mm-hmm. step eight, step nine, like let's not get overwhelmed, but like what's like the next step, the next closest step that someone can take to introduce a new habit or break an old habit? And then just slowly doing that over time and repeating that process. Eventually you start to notice that you feel a different way because mm-hmm. your habits are leading you to a different outcome. And it really is that simple. And I feel like so much of like the work appears to be so complicated.
Yeah.
The beauty of really like channeling habits and channeling priorities and like taking responsibility for those priorities and taking inventory, exactly as you said, of like what brings you joy and experimenting. Like I love like this curiosity, like the work isn't supposed to feel like heavy all the time.
Yeah.
It's the attitude that you bring to it of like this curiosity, how can I be like a scientist right now? And like
yeah.
works and what doesn't. And I love that you tried not meditating. I've done the same thing like mm-hmm. unintentionally and just been like, oh my God, I think my head's gonna explode.
Yeah, right.
Agitated in New York. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, why am I like so angry right now? I'm like, okay, I haven't been meditating. I don't even have like a reference point for what calm feels like this past week. I need to like find my anchor.
Oh my gosh. No, I completely agree. I also, when I was in Spain, I didn't journal as much. And by the end of the trip, I was like, oh my God, I have so many thoughts I need to get out and like document my experiences and what I was feeling and like patterns I broke. Da, da, da. And so when I came back home, I like spent an hour writing everything. And I was like, oh, like I forgot half of it. But I think you asked a really good question of like, what's the next step, right? Like if you become aware of it and you want to change the habit of being yourself, one thing that has really helped me lately is taking a pause. Like anytime I find myself about to do something that I've habitually done unconsciously, and once you have that awareness, which for me, meditation has really helped me like cement that. Once I have the awareness, I pause. Instead of getting right up and doing what I would normally do, I would be like, huh, I'm aware of this. Mm-hmm. And I have the opportunity, because I'm aware of it, to act differently. What will I choose? And sometimes I'll wait 10 minutes, 20 minutes, and it's like, I'm going to go back to what I did because I'm not ready yet. Like, you know what I mean? But there are also moments where I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do this differently. Even like something so simple of, you know, how I – real life examples. Like sometimes when I'll get a text, my past self, I would respond right away. And now I'm like, I'll read the message and I'm like, okay, I don't have the headspace for this. Let me think about my response and then I'll get back to them. And that's when I feel the most aligned, because I took that moment to pause. And I think over time, the more you pause and the more aware of it, you kind of get sick of your own shit. You're like, I'm aware of this and I'm pausing. Like, let me act differently now.
It's so, like, I love this conversation so much. I had a coaching call earlier today, and something that we were talking about was, you know, when you set this vision for who you want to be and like the type of person that you want to embody, not just what you want to have, but like the type of person you want to be, you basically have this map, but you don't know where that, you have like a destination, but you don't know how to get to that destination.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a matter of having a toolkit or having like sort of an inventory of like, how can I figure this out? And like, what can I use to check in with myself? And I love that moment of like pausing, because when you like have the terrain ahead, all of a sudden, instead of just reverting back to the original path that we've always been on that leads somewhere that we don't want to go anymore, we can start to be like, wait a minute. Okay. I have my compass. I'm going to use my compass, and it's going to feel strange, and it's going to feel foreign, and there's going to feel resistance to it because it's daunting. Like, I don't know this way. I'm going to have to like find my way through the darkness, but that's the path. And I think a lot of people don't expect there to be this inner resistance to it, but that's actually such a signal that you're on the right track. Mm-hmm. And like, the point of resistance actually just being something is like an invitation to like continue walking forward. Just because the resistance is there doesn't mean you have to like believe what it's saying to you about how unnatural it feels.
For you, what does it feel like when you break your own pattern?
Oof. amazing. God, I feel like, for me, the focus comes from like the intention comes from, I constantly will repeat the same sort of response, but I'll become more and more aware of the fact that I'm repeating that response. Often that kind of includes a battle of feeling guilty or kind of beating myself up or being like, you know better, like you shouldn't have done that.
Shame, the guilt.
Totally. Yeah. And so that cycle plays out almost always for me. And I'm sure a lot of people can resonate with that. It's like, with awareness doesn't always come like the different action. It's like, okay, awareness of the fact that I continue to choose the same old pattern. Awesome. Thanks, life. And so I think for me, I've never broken a pattern by focusing on the pattern. I've only ever broken a pattern by going within and asking myself, what is this pattern serving? And so it's that shift of using this kind of like roadblock in front of me, instead of like being like, okay, just going to keep hitting that brick wall and trying to find a way to climb over it. Kind of just like looking within and being like, okay, what is it? Because negative outcomes always have a positive intention.
Yeah.
And so what is it that this is protecting me from? Is there a belief system here that like I'm afraid of what's next, and so, or that I don't feel worthy of what's on the other side of this wall? And so it's always that internal shift, and then almost immediately I just like won't have that lesson come up, or if I do, I'm able to kind of like recognize it in a different way. I'm like, okay, I see you, I don't need to go there anymore. I know so clearly where I'm going. But I always have to turn within in order to break through, if that makes sense. Like, is that
I love that answer. You articulated that so beautifully, because that's how I see it as well. It's like, whenever I feel this barrier within me, it's like, what part of me put that up? What have I not healed yet? Is it fear? Is it shame? Is it guilt? Is it, you know, not living in alignment? Or what is the source of that? And once you get clarity of like, okay, I know why this is there, then you have the courage and the curiosity to know, like, why is that? Mm-hmm. And I think the curiosity is what facilitates you breaking that pattern. Because like, once you get to the root of it, you're like, oh, this pattern stems from a history of toxic relationships. Okay, great. I know where the pattern stems from. Why did I feel that way? Is it unworthiness? Okay, what part of me is unworthy? Mm-hmm. When did that start? And it's really a fun, like, I know that sounds very daunting, like, oh my God, I have all this work to do to dig deep since my subconscious beliefs that I don't even know I'm aware of. But I look at it as this like fun game, like of life, really. Mm-hmm. How much further deeper can I go? How much more can I learn about myself? And then how much more of my pure innocence can I remember? And I think that's the pivot that I've had recently is like, it's not me just trying to become my higher self. It's me coming back to my authentic self and bringing that inner child back out who was always confident and worthy and safe and all of these different things. And there are moments where that feels really scary and daunting and you don't know why things are happening. And there's a part of you where it's like, oh, I know, I trust, you know, I believe this is for me, but it's really hard to see that in the moment.
Yeah.
But what lies on the other side is freedom, really, like freedom from yourself.
Freedom from yourself. And I think that's it. Like, it's taking total, a really important shift that helped me with this work was recognizing that total responsibility is total freedom.
Mm.
And without taking total responsibility for everything as it is, all of the patterns, all of the behaviors, all of this, the circumstance of the world that you've built around you, not for children, because like, that's an outcome of your caretakers creating that space for you. But as an adult, like, we have the God-given gift to transcend the limitations of that child self, that or the mm-hmm. adolescent self. And so seeing that as like a liberation versus like being trapped by it and feeling like it's being done to us, being like, no, I'm the creator of my life. This, I think it's Invictus. I believe I heard Oprah quote this, I'm the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that from that poem because it's just, it's representative of the statement, like total responsibility. And I think when you recognize that taking total responsibility is your key to creating what you want in your life, all of a sudden these tasks, like you said, like following the thread of like, where's the source, just become like finding the keys to the prison that you've locked yourself in.
Yeah.
And this is layers.
I like the total responsibility. I was listening to Ed Milet's latest podcast episode, and they were talking about how, you know, events happen to us, but it's the meaning we take from the events that affect our emotional state of being. And they were basically saying how, you know, there could be two siblings in the same family who've gone through the same thing, and one turns out to be this successful, happy entrepreneur, and then one turns to addiction, let's say, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And you start to wonder, like, if they came from the same source and the same experiences, what's different between two of them? That one lives a prosperous, abundant life, and one is not living the life to their potential. And they were basically describing how it's the emotions that we attach to those stories, or it is the stories we create from it. And that's what I've been trying to really deprogram, is like the story of my life, like, you know, my health journey, right? Like, that was a massive story that I kept rereading and kept reinforcing. And it's very much true. Like, there was the event and many events of throughout my health journey. But I got to the point where I was like, I don't want to make the past, I don't want to bring the past into the present anymore.
Mm.
And I don't need to continue living that story anymore. Like, it is what it was, and I learned from it. I'm learning from it, whatever. But now is the time for me to create a new one. And it's hard. Like, it really is hard to be like, to detach from an event and being like, I'm responsible for that. But you might not be responsible for the event itself. I mean, to your point, like, so much suffering happens, trauma, like really horrific events that isn't in the hands of the person who's experiencing it, but our reaction thereafter, that is all on us.
We're meaning makers.
Yeah, the meaning. Exactly. Yeah.
And I think the ability to determine what things mean to you determines the outcome of your life. Yeah. Because the quality of your life is essentially how you feel about what's happening. And so if you can tell yourself stories, because we're telling ourselves stories that are good or they're bad. Mm-hmm. So my preference is to tell myself an empowering story that allows me to take action. I could equally invest my energy into telling myself a disempowering story that takes my capacity to act away from me because I'm demotivated. Like listening to what we're telling ourselves in our mind all the time. It's like this like incessant dialogue, but it's also like our closest friend, you know, mm-hmm. that trusted amigo, like in the mind. And we're listening to it. And so I want that conversation to be positive. I want that conversation to uplift me and to push me to take action, not to pull me back. And I think that's a daunting task for someone that's like so not in the experience of an uplifting self-talk conversation. It's just this acceptance that it feels strange. It feels foreign to begin with, but that's just this first step of the journey of becoming a new version of yourself and embodying a new version of yourself that you haven't yet tried. And I think just allowing things to feel foreign and trying new things and switching things up and putting yourself in new situations, like all of those experiences trigger different thoughts, and those different thoughts trigger different outcomes. And mm-hmm. using joy as an indication of, is this, and I love that you speak about joy so much because it's like, it's my favorite thing. I tried so desperately to name my book Journey to Joy, but like it just like constantly, I was having so much difficulty with the publishers. I'm glad we went with You Are a Magnet because I feel like it's the embodiment of so much of what I speak about. But joy is such a magnetic state. So like it's what I feel like we're all working towards is like, how can we embody like joy more regularly in our everyday, and how can we find it? How can we go looking for it where we may not have seen it before? And I feel like your page and what you write and what you do and how you live and who you are as a person, you are the embodiment of like a seeker of joy, which is such a beautiful
thing. Oh my gosh, that is so sweet of you. I saw this TikTok the other day. I'm just trying to find it. And it was basically like the difference between, okay, there we go. The difference between happiness and joy. And this is a biblical difference. Mm-hmm. Happiness comes from things happening to us, given to us from external sources. We can be happy, but it's usually temporary. Joy comes from within, created by me, that flows outward and affects external circumstances instead. It is a state of being that lasts because I'm not relying on other temporary things to keep me joyful. I'm full of joy because I have God. So it's a religious, you know, passage, but I liked how it depicted happiness of something that's happening to us. And that is how I'm not searching for happiness anymore. I'm searching for, or I'm trying to feel joy. And I'm trying to like embody that state of being throughout the day and not just like looking for it at pockets of time or certain experiences, but really feeling it every part of my day. From the moment I wake up, when I see the sunshine, oh, that's so joyful. When I make my, you know, take a first sip of my morning coffee, oh, that's so joyful. And like mm-hmm. really looking at all the little moments in life, because I don't know, like there's that movie quote from the movie Her, and one of the characters basically says like, I just want to feel joy because like life is short. So fuck it. Like, I want to feel joy.
Yeah. I think we get so caught up. And I know I remember you mentioning this, like on this conversation in another podcast of don't take things so seriously.
Yeah.
And like let things be joyful because you have to let them. And it's really easy to get bogged down by like the seriousness of it all, especially by like our serious friends and serious mm-hmm. colleagues that take everything as it must be done by this time. And I think obviously we have commitments and obviously we have certain schedules that we need to meet, especially with work, but it's the way that you go about that and like the energy you bring to that changes your experience. And exactly as you said, joy isn't like something that happens, it's like recognition.
Yeah.
And I love that energy of like going throughout the day of like, how can I recognize all the joy that's already so abundantly present in my day? And like even just 10 minutes of like looking around you, because I feel like especially in New York or anyone in any city, it's just like A to B, A to B, A to B. How get on the subway, get out of town, okay, get in the Uber. And it's like, when are you pausing to actually look at your life? Because in order to recognize, you have to like sit and look and actually take the time. And by doing so, you're rewiring your mind to then become more attuned to joy. And then all of a sudden, you are a magnet for joy as a human being. And that's like the ultimate, like, life is just like this constant evolution of lessons and like discovery and like finding, following that thread and like unlocking the keys to this like little thought prison we put ourselves in. So we might as well have joy on the way, right?
Yeah, like, right? And that's what I'm discovering really is like, life wasn't made to be a battleground. Like, yes, we're always going to be tested and we're going to go through challenges and we're all going to experience heartbreak and suffering and this and that, but it could still be orbited by love and joy and excitement. And that's what I'm really learning now is like, you could either be on the battleground and dread it and like make it worse than it is, or you could be on the battleground and look up and see the sun is still shining. That's my little metaphor for today.
I love it.
So horrible. Where am I going with that?
Look at the sun.
I tried.
It's the simple things, you know? Sometimes. Yeah.
One thing I wanted to do is your work on Instagram is just so powerful. And I wanted to, you know, share some of your pieces that have really resonated with me. And I want to allow you to talk about them and maybe further explain whether it's the place it came from or what you meant by it. So let's do it.
That.
One of my favorite things that you have ever written, and it's so simple, and I always come back to it.
I'm so curious.
You had written, overthinking cannot be solved by more thinking.
Oh my God.
Mic drop.
I feel like, of course, you understand this, like, as a curious person, because anyone that's, like, curious by nature is just, like, you live in your mind. It's just, like, constant stream of trying to figure things out, and that doesn't just apply to life. That applies to, like, personal relationships, the way, the tone of how someone said something to you, what it meant, and it just is this constant stream, and I think in the past, especially growing up, I really struggled with overthinking. My mom actually used to like constantly like come to me and say like, you need to stop thinking about your life and you need to start living it. Isolating myself. I'd spend all my time in my bedroom. I wasn't being social. I was very isolated. And I was constantly like living vicariously through my mind's ideas of like visions for my life instead of actually like, going out there and like, getting
involved. I was the same.
I think it's just a, like maybe the life path of a creative person to need internal time, a self time or solo time, but I think there's a limit to that in a way, a healthy limit. And then I think there's a point where you go beyond that and you get caught in the mind. And the solutions aren't in your mind. If they were there, you would have the solution. The solutions are always in the experience. And I think that piece of information has helped me a lot because I used to try to like figure things out. And I've now realized it's okay. I don't have to get it right. I don't have to get it perfect, but I'm going to go out. I'm going to experience, let the experience inform me of the answers instead of trying to figure it out prematurely.
I love that answer so much. I'm curious, where does intuition play for you when it comes to solving a problem or deciding how to act or what to do?
It's personally, like, I feel like sometimes I've, in the past, not at all, has a very logical linear. I went and studied, I did a Bachelor of Property. I was working in like property development. I was very much like a corporate girly. And it was just because I was like I was living in like this, like, what's like the most linear way of living my life and what's the most logical decision making. And I feel like when I got into the wellness world and I really started doing the self-discovery work, I almost leaned too far into my intuition. I know that sounds strange, but I was letting my emotional state, my emotional intelligence make decisions without considering my logical mind at all. And I think that led me to being quite impulsive and not really like thinking things through. And it always worked out, like intuition is always guiding us into situations that are really like powerful. But I think I've found this really nice balance now between like, okay, what does my intuition say about this? But then also let me just like consult my logical mind and like what's the feelings there. So validating both sides of self, just to feel more balanced and grounded, but very much live by my intuitive self. And just like a little tip for anyone to connect into their intuition, just like walking down the street and just letting yourself be guided, like, okay, where do I want to go? And just like asking your gut, like, where are we going? And then just like letting yourself walk around, walk into different stores, or when you're in the supermarket being like, what does my body want to eat right now? What nutrition do I need right now? Like, I feel like those little practices are so helpful. Do you like do a certain practice to tap into intuition or...
Ah, that's a good question. I feel like I'm so in tune now from doing what you just said, like asking myself and quieting the mind, meditating and like really listening, that I feel like I'm always acting intuitively because I know what I don't want and I know what I do want ultimately. What I'm discovering now though, and I've been writing a lot about this in my book, where a lot of us, including myself, so this is where this is coming from, is I have this intuitive feeling that like a chapter isn't over yet, or there's still something I need to do, or there's unfinished business, or whatever it is. And I question whether my intuition is right because of the ending, or because of the way things have ended, or the way people have shown up. So I'm like, was I right or wrong about this person? Like, was I wrong about this experience? And that makes me spiral. And going back to the post, overthinking cannot be solved by more thinking. And what I'm really discovering now is that, and you said this actually a minute or so ago, there are moments where our intuition is like crystal clear. Like, you want to go be an author, you act on it and it seamlessly works out for you. You want to move to a different city and you go and you thrive. You know, you think you are meant to be with someone, so you find your way back and it ends up being the love of your life. You know, you meet at the right time. But then there are moments where your intuition sends you subtle, quiet signals and you don't know what they mean, but you know there's something there. So you do go back to that former lover and you realize, okay, it didn't work out. Or you do move to a different city, but you realize I'm not happy here. Or you do quit your job and you start a new career and you realize like this isn't fulfilling me either. And so you start to question, was my intuition wrong? Like, it was a wishful thinking. What I've discovered as of late is that, and this is what you said, which is your intuition is always right, but we're so focused on the destination that we have in mind that we forget about the journey to get there.
Yeah.
And so your intuition is always guiding you to be more empowered, to be more aligned, to learn what you need to learn and to grow essentially. And so by no longer fixating on the destination, you begin to realize, wait a minute, your intuition was right because there was an unfinished lesson in that entire experience. There was clarity to be received from that former lover or that new job that you obtained. So that's how I think about intuition now. And because I've understood how it works, I now lean into my voice even more because I'm like, even if the outcome isn't what I hope for or wish for, I trust my inner guidance as a friend that ultimately is going to help me get to where I want to get to. That was a mouthful.
100%. It's such a beautiful shift. And I feel like it's the ability to zoom out, which is something I feel like most of us struggle with, including myself, of just, we constantly just want like the next best thing. And so often it's some of the most like difficult things that pave the way for the best thing to come. So just like keeping that perspective. I love that so, so, so much.
This kind of goes into the next one that I wanted to touch on of what you had written, which is it's titled Release Your Grip. And you start off by saying, trust that if something is meant to be in your world, you will not have to hold it so tightly. Allow things to naturally flow into and out of your life. What is meant to be there will always remain. And then you continue on by saying, nothing that is meant for you needs convincing to be in your life.
I feel like a lot of us struggle with this, where we're holding so tightly, convincing people to stay in our lives or experiences to continue or jobs to hold on to. I would love for you to articulate what you mean by all of this.
It's something that a lot of people have like reached out about when I've written about it as well. It's such a crazy thing because it's a habit of like every human being to think now is as good as it's going to get. And I think the ability to release your grip is contingent on accepting and holding faith for the fact that things could be even greater, even better, and that you're always going to have like amazing things happening in your future. And so when you keep and hold that perspective that great things are still coming for you, it's much easier to let go of something now because you have this trust that if it's not now, it's something soon. But that's really hard to do. And ultimately, these words just come from a battle of self-worth for myself, of wanting to grip onto things because I fundamentally like believe that the presence of X, Y, or Z in my life was like a validation of my worth. And so by letting go of them, I almost felt like I was like letting go of my sense of self, my sense of worth. And that played out in relationship dynamics or career dynamics of like really wanting to feel like, oh, but if I have this, like it makes me feel really good about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the ability to release, like catch and release things that are not meant for you, is really just knowing and recognizing your worth, your well-being, validating yourself, like letting your validation be sourced from an internal state of being rather than needing that external validation, because that also makes it a lot easier to let things go. It's like, okay, you can't mm-hmm. see my worth, amazing, like I can, so move mm-hmm. on, because someone else is going to come in that does. And again, that's where that trust and faith, the word faith really is so important in the conversation, because if you don't have faith, you don't have something on the other side to hold on to, and you need something on the other side to hold on to. So whether that's through like a trust in the universe, trust in God, or even a trust in yourself, which I believe like an individual expression of like God or the universe, you need that in order to have the capacity to be able to let go of the things that are in front of you that you know in your heart. And I have this belief that everyone knows when something's not for them that they're holding on to. There's like this inner knowing, and there's no judgment on holding on to that for too long, or there's no such thing as too long or too little. So just letting that lesson be whatever it is, but just knowing great things are coming for you. I think that's where that came from when I was writing about it for myself. Oh my gosh.
I loved hearing you dive deeper into it, and everything you just said is so, so beautiful. It's so true. I mean, if not this, then it's going to be something better. And if it's something that isn't fully aligning you, and I agree with you, your heart knows, but your heart also wants to hold on, because whether it's a relationship, an identity, a path, whatever it is, there was beauty in that in some way. Obviously, you feel a certain way about that for a reason. But your heart also knows, like, it's not quite there. Like something is missing. Something is a little off. And it's really hard to even articulate with yourself what that is and where that's coming from and describe it. But I agree. I mean, having a little bit of hope every day is what keeps all of us going. And I think sometimes there's like false hope or there's wishful thinking, but even just having the hope of like today can be a great day and my future can be really great, you're kind of speaking it into existence as well, because of that unwavering faith you have in the higher powers at play, really.
There's, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Michael Bernard Beckwith. He's got some great work, but one of my favorite kind of quotes from him is that pain will push you until vision pulls. And I feel like that's such an important part of that conversation of having a vision for your life and having a vision different to just what's in front of you. Because if you don't have something else to hold on to, it's really hard to let go. So just even for like emotional stability. So like creating, if if someone's having like a difficult time letting go of something that they know intuitively is not right, it's an invitation of how can you get extra clear on a vision for your life that really excites you, that really inspires you, because that's going to be something that pulls you forward out of that experience. And if that experience is meant to come with you, it will be there. Like trust in life that it will always be with you if it's meant to be there.
I love that. So Amber, you're working on a few exciting projects. Obviously the big one is your first book. I'm so excited for you. And you're also launching a podcast soon. So share us a little bit about the journey of writing a book, how it's been, how it came to be, and then give us a shameless plug on the new podcast that's launching and where everyone can find you.
Yes, you. I feel like we've bonded so much on just the writing process. Like I've felt so seen and so like so much love to talk to you about that journey of like putting a book together, because it's such a rewarding process. And I'm almost at the finish of the first draft now. And it's, I suppose it really touches on the content of the book is this journey of becoming more magnetic. And for me, a state of magnetism is being true to yourself, knowing who that is, but also really connected in with your internal state of joy. And when we're really plugged into that place, we radiate life towards us to validate that state of being. And so the book is sort of this journey from the fears and the limitations and the sense of not feeling like we can walk forward, and the tools, every essay kind of works through like tools and practical takeaways and prompts that someone can do. And this journey is ultimately to arrive at a state of joy and alignment with yourself, where it's not someday when, it's right now that your visions come to life, because you're embodying that person that you always kind of wanted to be but didn't feel like was possible. And it's really, I'm speaking from the story of myself and what that journey was like. And oh, kindred soul. I feel like it's so funny because like when I got your book, I was like, ooh, like what is this? And I sat down and I read it all in one sitting and I was just like, oh my God, I love this so much. I felt like it was like looking inside my own brain in a way. And it's such like I think the process of being so intimate with your words in a book is that someone can then see themselves in you. Exactly as you said at the beginning of our chat, like creative work is like recognizing yourself in something.
Mm-hmm.
The podcast is called Light Work, which is, I feel like we've kind of been touching on that as well, like in our chat. And that's launching in the first week of December. And I'm so excited to have you on.
Oh my God, I love to. I'm so excited for you.
I can't wait. But yeah, I'm on Instagram, on Modern Mind. And yeah.
I'm so excited for you to continue writing this book. I can sense, and from all the times that we've talked about it, like your intention with it is so pure, and I know it's coming from a really authentic place. And I love seeing you feel so aligned as you're writing it. Like when you see someone doing what they're born to do, it's so sweet from afar to see them thriving and doing what makes them happy. And look, like I credit you, because writing a book is really hard. Like not even just the editing process and the publisher process, but really being vulnerable in that way, you know, putting it out into the physical world and knowing that it's going to live on forever is, and having everyone you know read it. Like it's a really daunting task, but it's also incredibly rewarding. And I'm so excited to see you thrive. And I will be sure to share updates with my audience once your book is out. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm so grateful for this conversation.
You made my late Friday night. I'm so happy.
Thank you so much for listening today. Be sure to subscribe to the show, follow me along on social media at ECANU, and order my book, Beauty in the Stillness, which is available internationally in both digital and print. Everything is linked in the show notes below, and I can't wait to see you all in the next episode.